as we enter into a time of prayer together, as most of you know, we've suffered the loss of Chuck Dennis here in this last week. Many of you knew Chuck, living in Billings now. Complications of pneumonia and COVID-19, and Chuck has gone home to be with the Lord. And then also on Friday, receiving word that Philip Johnson's sister, Jackie, Velma's daughter, was involved in a one-vehicle rollover near Beach and suffered the loss of her life as well. How appropriate to sing a song written by a woman who suffered in an untimely death. We're learning of the fragility of life and the need for Christ, and so we lift up these things before the Lord. Well, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your abiding presence with us here today and wherever we go. We thank you, Lord, that you know the end from the beginning, and we thank you, Lord, that your will and your purposes will be fulfilled in life, and that your desire is that all would come to repentance, that you take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and that Christ came not to condemn but to save. And so, Lord, there's a glorious message to which we have responded by simply believing by faith and receiving Christ as our Savior. And then, Lord, you call us to a walk that would bring glory unto your name. And so, Lord, we come before you today, Lord, as your people, gathering together in your church and in your presence, Lord, to confess our sins before you, that we have stumbled, perhaps, Lord, or we have fallen in our walk with you only to experience your willingness, if we will confess our sins, to forgive. And so we come, Lord, with a great sense of gratitude that you would take note of us and that, Lord, you would come alongside of us. Lord, we lift up one another at this time because your grace, which has been dispensed upon us, Lord, you desire to dispense upon others. We pray, Lord, for the unsaved loved ones within our families. We pray, Lord, for co-workers, fellow students, those who have yet to come to saving knowledge of Jesus as their Savior. And we pray, Lord, for their spiritual and eternal well-being, that you, Lord, would open their eyes that they might see, open their ears that they might hear, open their hearts that they might receive you for their own. And then, Lord, we lift up those of our congregation who are sorrowing, extended families, Lord, of the Dennis family and the Johnson family, Lord, at these two losses. Lord, we ask for your comfort to be their portion, that, Lord, your peace that surpasses all understanding would be theirs. And that, Lord, you would mend broken hearts, and that, Lord, you would draw people to an understanding that life is fragile, that, Lord, security in Christ Jesus is sure, and that, Lord, you would use this opportunity to instill truth within the families' hearts and lives for your name's sake and for your glory. Lord, we lift up those in our congregation that are suffering with physical illness. We think of our dear sister Darlene in the hospital. Lord, I praise you and thank you for the good conversation that Darlene and I had the other day, and Lord, I thank you for your presence there, and I ask, Lord, that you would just encourage her, Lord, to strive for good health. Lord, we lift up Sonny again, Lord, and his health condition as well. Praise you, Lord, for Barb's good report from the doctors in Billings. And Lord, we just think of so many others, for Bill and Linda that are here today, how wonderful it is to have them back in fellowship. Lord, we ask that you would align and bring to fruition all the things that are necessary for their well-being. But Lord, we also lift up those who are suffering emotionally, for those who are suffering through mourning and spiritual issues, Lord, within their lives, that you are the great physician, you are the one who heals. We are reminded within your word, Lord, anyone who calls upon the name will be healed spiritually. And so, Lord, we lift up that need before you. We pray, Lord, over this gathering, this body of believers, that you, Lord, would bring us to life so that our lives might bear witness to the saving power of Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, you might use us as vessels unto honor. And then, Lord, for our community, we pray, Lord, over Sydney today and Richland County and, Lord, in the communities in which we live here, that, Lord, your church would have a great influence, Lord, on city government, Lord, on our schools, and whatever other situations, Lord, you would direct us to, that we might have influence for your namesake and for your glory. We pray, Lord, over our nation today as we see turmoil and division, hatred, Lord, being played out within our streets. Lord, when we see political rival back and forth, Lord, and Lord, a dishonoring of people. And Lord, we pray over a nation that has largely turned its back to you, veiling, Lord, your face and denying your sovereign power and your grace. And so, Lord, we pray for the United States of America that you would do a mighty work, Lord, within the hearts of her people, and that, Lord, you would be glorified in that. And so, Lord, we're calling upon you to do only what you can do, and we give that to you, committing it to you and praying it in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, continue to speak to our hearts today. Grow us. We thank you for your patience, Lord, your long-suffering towards us. But Lord, we recognize that you have a finished plan for each one of us. Bring us, Lord, to that state of perfection, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Again, just a reminder, the offering plates are located at the back of the sanctuary for your giving unto the Lord. For our scripture reference today, I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. I trust this is a familiar passage of Scripture to all, but we're going to read together just three verses today, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, as we look into God's Word. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And even now, Lord, as we take a look into this, into the light of your word, Lord, we would that you would direct and guide us, and that, Lord, this would be a great time of growth and understanding, and that, Lord, we would be equipped as your people to go forward from this place with a renewed sense of vigor for the things of God. And so, Lord, hide your servant behind the cross. Speak through these lips of clay eternal truth, and, Lord, may you be glorified. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I heard an account the other day. I'll try to relate it to you as best I can. A little revision in it that's from me as the author now, but not exactly the way I heard it. But I heard a story about two men on a train. Strangers, they didn't know each other, and they were traveling, and it became obvious at some point in time as they traveled that one of the gentlemen's first language was not English. He struggled with it. He spoke a foreign language, and so they were trying to communicate back and forth and having some difficulty doing it. As an example, the man who English was not his first language, he said, one of the problems I have with the English language and how you speak is that it's so vague you. And the gentleman said, it's what? He said, it's vague you. And he thought a little bit and he goes, oh, vague. That's the word you're trying to say. It's vague. And he said, well, yeah, okay, it's vague. And he said, and then sometimes, because I don't understand it, and it's vague the way you deliver it and everything, that sometimes as I try to tell it again, my tongue you gets all twisted up. And the guy said, your what gets twisted up? He said, my tongue you. And he said, no. I said, no, let me help you. It's vague, not vague you, and it's tongue, not tongue you. And he said, let me help you. In the English language, if you have a word that ends in U-E, the U-E are silent. And he said, well, but that doesn't make any sense. And they began to debate back and forth about whether that was right or that was wrong. And finally, the gentleman who English was not his first language, and he said, okay, fine. The two last letters are silent. And he said, I don't want to argue about it. So the late Ravi Zacharias shared that joke, or a form of that joke, and I thought it was pretty good. It's pretty good because God has called us, designed us, made us to be communicators. You ever stop and think about it? When you go back, even biblically, if you go back and you think about the history of the Bible, before the Bible was all put together, 66 books, even at the time of the writing of Ephesians, very little was read. Most all of the truth of the gospel, most all of the truth of the Bible and theology and doctrine and that was handed down from person to person by oral communication. You know, this letter would have been distributed to the church at Ephesus, and the pastor would have stood up and he would have read it with his mouth. He would articulate it. He would have communicated these truths to his people. Most all of it was done orally. You go all the way back to Moses. What did he do? He took the law and he stood before the people all day and he read them the law. Throughout the course of history, the main mode of the gospel being spread around the world was primarily and is primarily by voice. One person communicating to another person the truth of the Bible. That's why Romans says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That the idea that we are communicating people and that we are to use our mouths for communication is clear in Scripture. You remember how James drew us to the importance of this when he said, if a man doesn't bridle his tongue, his religion is in vain. In chapter 3 of James, James would go on to say that two things ought not to come out of your mouth. It ought not to be like a well that would put forth fresh water and salt water, and your mouth and the use of your mouth should not put forth blessings and cursings. And James would say this unruly little member called our tongue is hard to get under control. And the danger of not having it under control is that it's a little flame that starts a whole forest on fire. But we are to communicate. I can remember my mother. Somebody says, well, that's good. I remember one of the things my mother said at some point in time. I can't tell you the context or anything about it, but I was young. I probably 10 years of age. And I can remember my mother saying, if I need something explained to me, I'd like to have David do it, because when he explains it, I can understand it. Some people, I believe, are gifted with more ability, and maybe some people with less ability. But the reality is, we are all called to use our communicating abilities for the glory of God. Now, what's interesting in this passage to me is that Paul has just told the people at Ephesus of the spiritual battle, that we are to put on the whole armor of God. And you, of course, are familiar with that. And you go through all these defensive armaments of God, and then, of course, the offensive also in the sword. And he concludes it with verse 18, that we are to be a people who are praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all of the saints. Can I encourage you in one thing today? Take home your bulletin and look at the people listed in there in that prayer list. Don't throw it away. Put it someplace that you frequent, probably your refrigerator door, and pray over the members and the people that call Ebenezer Congregational Church their home. On Tuesday mornings when we gather here in the sanctuary, we have made this a practice when we pray, lifting up our needs and our desires and our praises to the Lord, that we try to remember to pray for everyone so that every week a portion of this family of God is being prayed for. That's biblical, it's right, and it must be exercised for the furtherance and the betterment of the church and for the glory of God. Can you imagine such a thing as if on one day of the week listed in your bulletin, everybody in our church was praying for that one individual? The power of prayer, as Bill has expressed to us already today in his testimony, thank you for the prayers. Okay? So praying one for another. And then Paul makes it personal in this, and he says, and as for me, I love that because Paul now counts himself one of the many. And here's Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Here's Paul, arguably the greatest evangelist within the Bible in the New Testament. Here's Paul, who has given us most of the New Testament in writing. This man who wrote these things under the inspiration of the Spirit of God would be read unto congregations around the area of Asia Minor. Now, because of scribes transferring these and making these into other transcripts, have gone from oral to written word of God, the Rhema of God, and it has gone around the world. That Paul says for me, pray for me that I might open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. For I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. I can remember the first time this hit me. This great man of God was coveting the prayers of people so that he might be used of God. Someday I will pass away, and someone will take hold of my Bible. I hope it's still this Bible. It's getting awfully worn and tattered, and the pages are so thin, they're just about to fall apart. But I've got notes in my Bible, and I've got highlights in my Bible. And in the margin of my Bible there is written in a Sharpie, not a pencil. That goes back to our Sunday school opening, sorry. What's written there is my prayer, and I covet your prayers. I believe God has gifted me with an ability to orate. I believe that he has given me the gift of speech. But I need the prayers of God's people to continue in the manner in which I am supposed to preach. You see what Paul's talking about here. He says, I'm bound to this. I can't escape it. This is the calling on my life. I'm enslaved under Christ to preach this. And he says, how I ought to preach. That means there's an ethic, there's a truth in preaching. He talks about the mystery of it, the making known of the truth of it, the revealing of this mystery, and boldly preaching, boldly communicating, boldly uttering. I did a quick study of this, and I want to draw you to a number of different passages that refer to this utterance that Paul is speaking of. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to get a clear understanding, and I thank the Lord for an ever-deepening understanding of his word. Because many years ago, I wrote that in my margin, but I didn't fully understand what it was that Paul was saying at that time. And so if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7, here now, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is talking to the church at Corinth. In this second letter, he says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Now, he's talking about their giving, their financial giving. But within that context, he says of this church, they are abounding in everything, including faith and utterance and knowledge. They didn't just simply believe in Jesus Christ, and they didn't simply have a knowledge of Jesus Christ, but they were willing to share that knowledge through their mouth, through oral communication, utterance of that word. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as we go through these, I pray that this is becoming more and more clear to you as it has to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in his introduction, verses 1 through 6. Again, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, under the church of God. Now listen to this description of who you are. Under the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Oh, the church. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And then if you'll turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Again, another letter of Paul's that was written and then shared orally amongst the church. Colossians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And then I would throw one more in with that, and that would be 1 Peter chapter 3, because that's what it reminded me of when in 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16, Peter would say, under this inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. You see it there. This communication that is going on within the church. And that Paul says, that I might have utterance. You know, I did a quick look in my Bible, and I found that the word utter is listed 46 times in the Bible. Uttered 17 times. Uttereth 9 times. Uttering 1 time. The Greek words from which we get those forms of the word utter are laleo, erugamai, aphemai, denomai, phathenagomai. 5 different Greek words that we then translate in the English as utter, uttered, uttereth, and uttering, with synonym words attached to them as speak, preach, say, talk, tell, bellow, roar aloud, or to cry. But what Paul has stated in Ephesians chapter 6, praying that you would pray for him that he might have utterance, and also shared in 2 Corinthians 8, 7, and also shared in 1 Corinthians 1, 5, and also shared in Colossians 4, is none of those Greek words. That's amazing to me. because those verses are the only verses within the New Testament that share the Greek word that we have translated, that I might have utterance, to which I am in bonds, that I might boldly, that I might ethically, and that I might reveal. Only in those verses is the word utterance drawn from a Greek word. How many of you would like to know the Greek word? I want to know the Greek word. Because what Paul is drawing us to is this understanding. We have mouths to share. And the ethic for the Christian is to be a vocal Christian, sharing your witness and so on, right? We know that because faith comes by hearing. And who's going to carry it unless they're sent? And beautiful are the feet of those who go proclaiming the gospel of peace. That we are to be a telling people. That's true. And it's throughout Scripture. But Paul is drawing us to a deeper understanding of what it means to ask for utterance. And to understand what Paul is saying here, we must go to John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we have perhaps the most profound prologue in all of Scripture. 14 verses. I remember one time when I was teaching this in men's Bible study, I believe we took 3 months to go through these 14 verses. How profound the truth that John proclaims as an eyewitness of Jesus Christ. And John says in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And that we clearly understand. The Word there is capitalized. It's a capital W. This, he is speaking of Jesus. That Jesus is the Word of God. That he is the personification of the Word of God. If you want to know what God thinks, you listen to what Jesus said. If you want to know who God is, you look into the face of Jesus, for Jesus is the express image of his person and the brightness of his glory. This word here is the Word of God. In the Old Testament, over 4,000 times, the Word of the Lord. Over 4,000 times, thus saith the Lord. Therefore, when we go to Hebrews chapter 1 and we read that God in sundry times and divers places spoke unto us through the prophets in the Old Testament, he has now spoken to us through his Son, the express image of his person and the brightness of his glory. What we're understanding there is God's expression of his mind, his desire, his personage, is found only and completely in the person of Jesus Christ. And the word in John 1 is the Greek word logos. And when Paul prays that he might have utterance, the word we have utterance there is the Greek word logos. What is Paul saying? Is he saying simply teach biblical truth? Is he saying speak doctrinal correctness? No, what he's saying in that is I want boldness that I might plainly and truthfully declare the person of Jesus Christ. That I might name the name of Jesus. That I might speak as Jesus. That when people hear my voice, they're not hearing my voice, they're hearing Jesus. Paul would not be walking around speaking of faith or hope or peace. Or love. Paul would have been proclaiming under the boldness of the Holy Spirit to speak faith in Christ, hope in the resurrection of Christ, the peace that comes from heaven through the Prince of Peace. He would have been talking the love of God in Christ Jesus. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Every word Paul would preach would be Jesus Christ, the word, Logos. It's been a lot of years ago. I came to the church to find a poster rolled up and stuffed in our envelope or in our mailbox. And I opened it up. And God directed me to read it all. And there was a lot of words on there. It had to do with a quote unquote Christian concert that was going to be taking place in Billings. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I unrolled that and I read every word on that poster. I could have told you today how many words because I counted them at one point. And nowhere, listen to me, nowhere on that poster was ever the name Jesus. Nowhere. I want to encourage you today. I believe that what Paul was asking for prayer is something that we should ask for. That we might have utterance, logos, the word, the person of Jesus Christ. And that we might declare him boldly. And that we might declare him ethically, truthfully. And that we might declare him winsomely, not in an arguing manner. That others might come to the faith that you and I share in Christ Jesus. If you go back to that simple but somewhat silly story I told you, I want to encourage you in this. Do not be vague in your proclamation of Jesus. Don't talk about God. Everybody has a God in their mind. Talk about Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there is no name by which a man might be saved other than the name of Jesus. Proclaim clearly, not vaguely, clearly enunciate the name of Jesus. Secondly, don't be tongue-tied. Be bold. What I have found in my life is when I struggle for the words to say, when I hold back from sharing something about Jesus, the best thing for me to do, you might want to write this down, it's pretty profound, is to open my mouth and start talking. God will give you the words to speak. So don't be tongue-tied. Open your mouth boldly. In Acts chapter 28, verses 30 through 36, that they were boldly and confidently proclaiming the kingdom. Be bold, be truthful, be plain. Don't come with enticing words, but simply speak the truth. And then thirdly, I would say, don't argue. Don't argue. You're not going to argue somebody into heaven. Simply speak the truth. Do it in meekness and in fear, and do it in a winsome manner that they might meditate on your testimony and they might come to Christ and you might play a part in winning some for him. And then pray for the opportunity to share Jesus. Pray for the opportunity to speak the name of Jesus. And then open your mouth when God opens a door of utterance for you. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I believe throughout the course of history as we see it, the church has been furthered by people who are willing to boldly proclaim the name of Jesus. If the Apostle Paul needed the encouragement of the prayers of other saints for him to continue in that manner, then who am I to say that I don't need that encouragement? I believe today, Lord, that there are weeks of time between Sundays when your people, called by your name, your children, those born again by the Spirit of God and professing faith in Christ Jesus are following after Christ, that there are weeks of time that we never proclaim Jesus. And that should be accounted to our shame. For Lord, we are here to be witnesses of Jesus Christ. And we are here to use our voices so that others might hear, might see, whose hearts might be softened to receive, so that you might be glorified, your kingdom enlarged, and our lives edified as we join the harvest field with you. And so, Lord, that we might be bold, give us utterance, give us logos, Christ, to speak. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.